Fiat. March 6, 1938. Oppressions and melancholies have no reason to exist in the divine will. They form the clouds, the bitter little drops which embitter God and the creature. Prodigies of abandonment in the divine volition. How all created things remain animated by one who lives in the fiat. The sea of the divine volition never ceases to plunge me into its waves, as though wanting nothing to enter into me other than its light, so as to grow in me by way of light and heat the life of its will alone. But in spite of all this, I felt oppressed with an air of melancholy because of the circumstances, alas, too painful, of my poor existence down here, which formed as though clouds around me to prevent me from enjoying the beauty of the light and the gentleness of the warmth in which the soul remains fecundated, reborn, and growing inside her very creator. My sweet Jesus, who jealously watches over my poor soul, all goodness, told me, "My good daughter, courage. Oppressions, melancholies, the thought of the past have no reason to exist for one who lives in my will. These are notes that clash with our notes of joy, of peace, and of love, and form feeble sounds which sound unpleasant to our divine ears. They are like bitter little drops which, thrown into our sea, would want to embitter our divine sea. Well, by living in our will, we make the creature the owner of our seas of joy, of happiness, and if necessary, we arm her with our power, so that everything may be propitious to her and nothing may do harm to her, because there is no power against our will. On the contrary, our will has the power to level and to crush anything like dust under the empire of a mighty wind. Therefore, when we see the creature in our will being afflicted, oppressed, how bad it sounds to us. And since she lives in our volition, by the one will that animates us, we are forced to feel her afflictions and oppressions. To set ourselves aside when the creature is afflicted is not of our divine being, nor of our love. Rather, we make use of our power, and we inundate her more with our love, so that we may see her again with a smile on her lips and with joy in her heart. Besides, the thought of the past is truly absurd. It is like wanting to claim the divine rights. You must know that anything beautiful and good that the creature has done is deposited inside of us, attesting to us her love and the glory that she gives us, and forming her crown for her to be crowned on our first entrance into our celestial fatherland. Therefore, the most beautiful act of the creature is to throw herself into our arms, abandon herself, letting us make whatever we want to make of her, in time as well as in eternity. Only then do we take all the delight in making her one of the most beautiful statues that must adorn our celestial Jerusalem. Then he added, "My daughter, when the creature abandons herself in our will, our satisfaction is so great that she pours herself into us, and we pour ourselves into her. And we give her new life of ours, new love, new sanctity, and new knowledges of our Supreme Being. When the creature abandons herself in our divine volition, we can make in her the greatest prodigies, the most surprising graces, because there is our own will in her receiving and depositing what we want to give to the creature. By abandoning herself in our will, she storms heaven, and her empire is such that she imposes herself over our divine being, enclosing it within her littleness, while she, triumphant, encloses herself inside our divine womb. The heavens are stupefied. The angels and the saints remain ecstatic, and all feel a new life flowing in them by virtue of the act of abandonment that the creature has done while still a pilgrim. And we, finding her abandoned in our fiat, we find in her that we can do whatever we want. She lends herself completely to our power. So we begin the work and form in her soul many little fountains of love, of goodness, of sanctity, of mercy, and so forth, in such a way that when our love wants to love, with our omnipotent breath, we move the little fountains of love, and she loves us, making so much love overflow from the fount as to flood the entire celestial court. When we want to use goodness, mercy, grace, we set these fountains in motion, and the earth is flooded by our goodness and mercy. And some are converted, some receive graces. We could do all this directly by ourselves, but we experience greater delight. We feel more pleasure in using the fountains which we ourselves have formed in the creature. Through her, we feel more moved to use mercy toward all. We have our intermediary between heaven and earth who, with her abandonment, makes us pour graces and makes us love all creatures we knew love. Therefore, the more you are abandoned in our will, the more magnanimous we will be toward you and toward all. And everyone, at least the more disposed, will find new strength, new light, new guidance. I remained surprised, and he added, "My good daughter, how I wish that all knew what it means to live in my divine volition. It is such as to seem incredible, but do you know why? Because they don't know what my will is, and the whole series of prodigies that it can do and wants to do in the creature. So, not knowing it, they believe it is impossible that my will can do in the creature all that I'm saying. Oh, if they knew it. What it does and says is little. It is the knowledge that puts us on the way to the creature and prepares our place, forming the space in which to place our unheard of prodigies. It is knowledge that forms the eyes to be able to look and appreciate our divine wonders. Everything is prodigy for one who lives in our will. You must know that as the creature does her acts in my will, all created things remain animated by the will and word of that creature. All things possess a voice, and some say love, some glory, some adoration, some other thanks, and others still blessing to our Creator. What harmony do they form in the atmosphere? What a sweet enchantment, such that we feel enraptured. But whose voices are those? The voices of one who lives in our will. It happens as when voices and chants are ingeniously enclosed inside instruments of wood and of metal. The instruments sing and speak. It is the same for the one who lives in my will. Her love to see me loved and glorified is such that she encloses her will, her voice, and her love inside the created things. And some narrate to me the story of my love. Some sing of my glory. It seems that all things have something to tell me. And oh, how happy I feel, because I see that the creature masters the entire creation, and queen as she is, animates everything and makes me loved by everything. Oh, how sweetly it resounds to our divine hearing. I have given everything to her, and she gives me everything. And I return to give her all over again.